Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Duluth Rundown, a podcast focused on the local Twin Ports running scene. My name is Tony Stensland with Tony Stensland Coaching.
And I am Mike Ward with Duluth Timing and Events.
All right, quick thank you before we get started to our sponsor of this episode, Austin Jarrow, Duluth's original running store. That's the place to get your running shoes. Great advice from all the people that work up there. Check out their website, austin-jarrow.com. They are also on Facebook and Instagram. Drive on up to their location on Central Entrance, just on the other side of where the Home Depot is, but on the other side of the road. Or give them a call, 218-722-1185. Thanks so much to Austin Jarrow. All right, everyone. Welcome back to the latest episode of the Duluth Rundown podcast. I'm Tony. Mike has joined me as well. We're recording this on Sunday, the 8th of January. Beautiful winter day, the blue sky, nice temps, no real breeze. Just a really nice day to be out running, skiing, doing whatever you do in the winter in Duluth, snowshoeing. Hope everybody's had a good weekend, and we're excited to get started on the new podcast.
New year.
The whole new year, yeah.
New season. Do we have seasons? No, we don't really have seasons.
I guess this is...
Season four.
The end. Yeah, start of season four, the end of season three, since we began in April, I think, was our first podcast. But, plugging along.
Episode 57.
How was your new year?
It was good.
Yeah.
It's I like the new year because it's kind of just like get done with the holidays and get back to the routine and everything's back to normal. So it feels good to kind of get into the swing of things. And
I like the little mini break. And then, but yeah, after a while, I like to have the get back to the, like you say, the routine and the typical things is kind of nice.
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely. I'm probably like a lot of people. I think, you know, the new year's nice to just say like, all right, that's the old me. Now I'm starting fresh. And whether it sticks or not, just kind of that opportunity to start fresh. And I always take that opportunity to kind of reflect.
Do you have any resolutions?
You know, I do. Up to New Year's Eve, I didn't. And then on New Year's Day, I was like, well, maybe I should pick something. Mm-hmm. And so it's maybe an easy one that is kind of trivial, but my New Year's resolution is to floss my teeth every day.
Every day. Yeah. Nice. No, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd be curious who flosses every day. I don't. And I don't know anybody.
I don't. I make excuses, you know, like the extra sleep will be good for me, you know, like literally at the end of the night, that's my main excuse.
Saving money by not having to buy dental floss.
Floss prices are going up. And it's not like I feel like I need to. It's not like my dentist is like harking on me, floss every day, Mike. You know, but it's just like something small.
They're going to be thrilled, though.
They are, right? Yeah. So that's kind of what I was hoping. And
that's a good one. I like that.
It's like a little routine, you know, just set a different, you know, habit forming.
The everyday one resolution is, I feel like, always a little bit of pressure.
Yeah.
I'm going to do this every day. Last year I had two. One was to not drink any soda. Mm. That was actually pretty easy. Hmm. When it's, you know, I'm not a huge soda. I do like, you know, having a cherry Coke or something. Yeah. But so no soda. And I did that. That was fine. The other one was no fast food unless I allowed myself some stipulate. Like if I'm out traveling and trying to like, it's a 6-hour drive. And you're like, well, let's pull into the McDonald's real quick and keep on going.
Right.
I allowed myself that.
Yeah.
And I did that too. I was able, I think I really only had fast food like maybe 3 or 4 times a year anyway. So that worked out pretty well.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and kind of have a similar type of a stipulation that if I'm at home, then I have to floss. But I even actually didn't floss. I was out of town this way. I'm not gonna bring myself. I don't know. Anyways, it's just kind of fun to try to set a different habit.
Yep. No, that's a good idea. I like that one. Yeah. I have one for this year, and it's an everyday one. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a challenge, as it should be, I suppose, especially when we travel. But mine is to run every day.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
At least a mile. We have a treadmill now, and I haven't had one until we just got one maybe, I can't remember, late summer. So I thought, gosh, if we have a treadmill, then I can get a mile. I'll just go to the put some shorts on and go run. Like that's pretty easy rather than trying to bundle up and go outside when it's really cold out for just a mile.
You got options to make it happen.
I've got some extra options. Exactly. Yeah. So that's the so far, although I haven't ran yet today, but I will. But yeah, so far 1 week, no problem.
So, I mean, we've talked to a lot of streakers, run streak people on the podcast, and yeah. I think some of our interview guests are like Kyle Sather, still streaking,
yep.
as far as I know, right?
So, yep.
Have you ever been a run streak person before?
I haven't. Maybe 100 days is like right in that range.
And were you like, I'm going for the continuum here? Just look back, oh, hey, I've ran the last 100 days, as it turns out.
Yeah, no, I knew I was on a streak. But I didn't care if it ended per se. Like,
right.
It wasn't the point. I just was like, yeah. Sometimes it was like, all right, got to keep going because I've got 80 days or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. But at the same time, it wasn't a point of purpose for me.
Huh.
Yeah. But now I'm going to give it a shot.
Yeah.
So
cool. That's exciting.
Yeah.
Well, should we get to the rundown here?
Let's do it.
All right. So we have a couple. Results from local races. Actually, they're both part of the Duluth Winter Trail Running Series. The first set of results we have are from the Chester Rim 5K and my home course, Chester Park, Duluth. I did not participate, but a competitor of mine won. I've done a lot of races with Benjamin Welch, and he took the win with 27:20. And then Aurora Kothi took the win on the ladies' side with a 34:38. So let's see, 52 finishers there. And then the next race in the series is the Northwoods Marathon and Half Marathon. That was just yesterday, January 7th, as we record. Mike New out of Evansville, Minnesota, won the marathon with a 4:20. And then Aurora won the marathon on the gal side with an impressive performance of a fifth overall with a 5:01. So that's maybe one of the top, 15 all-time fastest times. Aurora really put together a good race there and looking good on the series. I think they do series points, but Aurora has 2 wins out of 2. So nice yeah. job, Aurora. Also, of course, there's a half marathon. All we know about the half marathon, we don't have results quite yet, just from yesterday, but Tony, you found a news article from Kyle Severson, who is a local Duluth runner, won the half race, apparently, based on the news reports. So, of course, there's a snowshoe marathon and half marathon as well, but not a ton of participation there. One finisher in the marathon, Lucas Gingery out of Duluth, and then a previous Duluth Rundown interview subject, Michael Coppy, won the snowshoe half marathon race. So,
oh, nice. What was Michael's time?
3:07:06 for the half on snowshoes. So.
Yeah. Nice.
Yep. For some upcoming races, we have the next series race in the Duluth Winter Trail Running Series, which is January 21st. That's the Wild Winter Wipeout 5K. I believe that's at Spirit Mountain again. You can go to the Duluth Winter Trail Running website to find out about that, sign up, and, of course, look at the rest of the remaining series races. On January 28th, it's not quite local, but a lot of Duluthians head up to International Falls for a really fun event, the Freezer Gizzard Blizzard 5K and 10K. Can definitely get some really cold temperatures on that one, so if you're looking for kind of a strange challenge, it's a road 5K and 10K, and that's just a really fun event put on by the Chamber of Commerce and such. It's kind of a cool festival event atmosphere going on there. However, if you're looking for a really kind of unique, challenging winter event, on January 30th is the Arrowhead Winter Ultra for foot, ski, or bike, 135 miles.
Or kick sled.
Or kick sled.
Which technically counts as foot.
The foot, yeah. Yeah, yeah. So, couple races coming up here in January. Couple on trails. Speaking of which, trail conditions are looking good, but we have had close to a historic snowfall in Duluth so far through the season. I think from the news I saw like second place of all time
for December.
So something to keep in mind if you're looking to the trails, maybe consider taking like some fat skis or snowshoes or something if you do want to go out on the trail, which is actually a really nice benefit to all trail users to get that packed down before before normal kind of foot traffic. Mm-hmm. And if you are noticing that you're punching through or post-holing, maybe consider turning around, because that doesn't make the trail super nice for anyone using it.
Yeah, I think, you know, we've had this kind of continual snowfall just every couple 3 days, and that gets the, you know, the groomers, whether it's the ski trails grooming or the snow dog people doing the single track, it's hard for them to keep up with it. Mm-hmm. So getting out there with like snowshoes or something to pack down prior, even before the in single track case, even before the snow dogs get out there, is actually helpful for them, and just it makes the trails that much better.
Right.
The one thing about when you're snowshoeing out there on the trails, especially if you're just hiking with the snowshoes, it just takes so long to cover a relatively small amount of ground.
Yeah.
My wife and I went out there to Hartley, mm-hmm. Just after the most recent snow, and we did Root Canal through the meadow up to Pines, and then we did Fisherman and back on Romness, and then back. So we did that section, but we didn't even, you know, have any time to touch guardrail and all that out there, which is, you know, when I'm personally out running, that's where I go, and I like to have that all blocked down, which I would have been happy to pack down, but you just don't have the time.
Yeah.
You know, that's a couple hours.
You did a three-mile loop?
It was 3 miles, yeah.
And how long did it take?
I don't remember exactly, but it was an hour and a half for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you're going out there with the intention to pack it down too, that takes, I mean, you're focusing your footsteps to pack each little bit down. And
exactly. Yeah. So it certainly does take some time. The best bet is, you know, get a whole bunch of people out there, get 3, 4, 5 people out there and kind of single file, conga line it. And you can go a little quicker that way, because it's just that first person's breaking trail, and then everybody else, it gets a little easier as you go back. But yeah, it's important. It's also a lot of fun.
Yeah.
A good way to kind of contribute to the trails and the health of the trails.
Put like trails volunteer on your LinkedIn profile now.
Totally.
Yeah. So yeah, we're setting up for like an amazing rest of the year, I think, on the trails, you know.
Yeah.
It's so nice to have like a big snow base, and it's pretty fun. So get out there. Next, we have the Coach's Corner. Tony, do you have some advice for our listeners?
I think, you know, I do. Just, you know, with it's January now, and it's kind of time where everybody starts to train for Grandma's Marathon, especially the marathon. They're getting into that time here. My training group will start on the 17th. So anybody interested in joining a training group and getting ready for Grandma's, you know, my group's a good one to do that. But I know that so many of our listeners will be out there training on their own as well. It's just it's a good time to remember, to just as a reminder of what I call like the four pillars of training: patience, consistency, belief, and gratitude. And particularly these first two right away. Well, they're all important, but I really wanted to speak to the first two of patience and consistency, especially early in your training. Don't even worry about how fast you're running. Just run and let it take some time.
Right.
It takes a long time for not only your aerobic conditioning to come around, but it takes even longer for the physical conditioning to come around. And again, especially if you're training for the marathon, you're going to need some of that, that physical adaptation. And so you need to really give it some time. The analogy that I often use with that is our aerobic system, our lungs and heart, that's like the engine of a car. And your musculoskeletal system, that's like the chassis of the car. And if you build too big of an engine and you don't have a chassis that can support it, both the suspension system and the differentials and transmissions, you're going to wreck the car.
Right.
And that's what happens in running, that if you do, this is why we run easy, because in running-wise, you allow the skeletal muscular system to somewhat catch up a little bit to the aerobic system, because the aerobic system develops a lot faster.
Right.
So that's why, and again, this is the time of the year to run a little slower. It's a great benefit to run slower so that you can have the physicality to continue the rest of the training.
Yeah.
So we start on the 17th, and that's 22 weeks. So 22 weeks of training, you know, physically, as everybody knows who's ran a marathon and trained for a marathon, it's hard.
Yeah.
You know, it takes it takes a lot out of you. Yeah. So you really need to be patient with that training and just allow it to slowly build and build and build.
Yeah.
And then in addition to that, just stay consistent.
Yeah.
Rather than kind of a big week and then a small week and then a big week and a small week. And as life gets in the way a lot of times, and let's just say, for instance, you have an 8 miler on the schedule for that day, or 6 miles, maybe even more realistic. But life is crazy busy. If you can get two in,
yeah, right.
It's still better than a zero for that day. And it helps continue the consistency.
Yeah, definitely.
It keeps that rhythm going throughout the week. Just boom.
Rhythm, yeah.
I run Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday, Sunday. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday, Sunday. Just try to keep that rhythm going the whole time.
Right.
Even if you don't always get the daily mileage that you maybe want or have planned for.
Yeah.
Something is better than nothing almost all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting about the aerobic and muscular system. I'll have to say that. I find that, the aerobic system, you can train it faster than the muscular system. But also, I find personally, and maybe you can touch on this a little bit, Tony, that I lose the musculoskeletal faster too. So if I take like I have over the holidays, 3 weeks off, or really more for me, it's been, kind of an extended period of, not really applied training. And I feel like the aerobic, I'm kind of like right back in it, but not like my legs are sore. I feel like my form is deteriorated quite a bit. And so I'm noticing not only does that, maybe come back slower, but like I'm still maybe hanging on to some aerobic benefit from, say the summertime, even some of it, or the years of training leading up to that. Whereas the musculoskeletal, I feel like it's gone,
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Not to mention, for most of us, that holiday weight that we put on too.
Yeah.
There's a little extra poundage that you're kind of carrying around too, as you get restarted again in January, if you want to say restarting. And so that's something also that you need to be aware of. And again, that speaks to why you just run easy.
Right.
This everyday thing that I'm going for, so far, honestly, well, it's been 7 runs, so it's not a lot.
Yeah.
But I'd say 4, maybe even 5 of them have been 1 mile runs.
Right.
So what's really happening is I'm not necessarily really training my cardiovascular system that much.
Right.
Looking at the data, the heart rate is kind of slowly coming down a little bit, the average heart rate per run, which is what you'd expect and what you want. But actually, I'm actually training the physicality a little bit more, the musculoskeletal system a little bit more.
Right.
But again, 1 mile, not super stressful, but stressful enough, because you always want some stress. You
have something.
Stress and rest.
Right.
So the everyday thing can be pretty beneficial. It's not a necessity, but you definitely have to be patient with it and do it right. Yeah. And if it's not every day, let's just say 4 or 5 times a week, let's just say that's a lot for somebody at this point. Well, do that, but dial back the other intensities. We've talked about this before with the three main stresses in training, duration, intensity, and frequency. Mm-hmm. Frequency being how often you run.
Yep.
So if that is a pretty big stress, and if you're kind of going couch to whatever distance, and so you haven't been running at all, and now all of a sudden you're running 3 times a week, well, that frequency stress is a pretty big stress.
Big time,
so you have got to back off the other two, duration, intensity, until you're adapted to the frequency, which that's the one that you adapt to the quickest.
Yeah.
And then once you kind of get the frequency established, and say 5 runs or 7 or 8 or 9 or 10 runs in a given week, once you get that established, there's only so far you can really go with that.
Yeah.
Then you just kind of play off the duration and intensity stresses.
Right. Yeah. I think for a lot of people, me included, that frequency is definitely something new. I mean, they're all new, but
absolutely. And so, again, like just to reiterate that, if that's new, the frequency is new, dial back the intensity and the distance.
Patience. Well, moving on to thoughts on the run, Tony, what have you been jogging over?
Well, actually it wasn't even a thought on the run, because we did our interview portion first.
Yeah.
We spoke with Jason Kask. It was really great talking to him. And Mike, you had asked him a question about bucket list races. And And when you're asking, I thought, oh man, a bucket list race. I don't really have bucket list races anymore myself. Mm-hmm. I do have one that I'm actually going to be doing in August, the Paavo Nurmi Marathon.
Yeah.
I'm putting that out there publicly now. I haven't signed up yet, but that's the plan. And I've kind of wanted to do that for a long time. It's kind of a legacy race. It's been around for a long time. And I've toyed a little bit with some of the other local legacy races that I haven't done yet. Brimson, Sisu, Corky, Nordic, the Bangin' and Brush. I haven't done those, really. There's a couple others.
Yeah.
But I don't know yet if I'm going to go there, but certainly Paavo Nurmi. But actually, what I don't necessarily have bucket list races so much anymore, but I have bucket list places that I want to run. For instance, Magnolia Road out in Boulder. Famous, iconic running route. It's just a gravel road out in Boulder. But everybody runs that road that lives out there.
Right.
I would love to run that.
Yeah.
We're going to Norway this summer, and so I'm going to run at Bislett Stadium, either out on the track or underneath the track that's inside, that's underneath the track. I'm going to run at least a mile at Bislett Stadium just to do that. That's going to be super cool.
Yeah.
There are other places around that are like, oh yeah, I got to run that route.
Like a Fell in the UK or something.
Totally. That would be so cool. Like to actually, or even that would be a race in just any old, like the Fell races that they have out there. But any Fell out there in the UK would be super cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's kind of what I have.
Nice.
Yeah. Bucket list places.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. Next, and this, I guess maybe to piggyback off bucket list races, I just signed up for a bucket list race myself recently. And so that's what I've been into lately is, again, kind of talking, you know, first of the year. On one hand, a lot of races are opening up, you know, right at the beginning of the year here, or maybe have been open. But for me, that's, I think, a really good time, you know, end of one year, beginning of the next, to kind of look towards the next season and the next whole year. And sometimes you have to plan out that in much in advance. For instance, kind of a PSA, but the Rock Steady Running trail races, all of them, you know, Superior Spring and Fall, Afton, you know, all the races are. The lottery period's open for that through January 15th.
Yeah. So you got another week to sign up for those races.
So, like, you have to start planning at this time or make decisions. And so that's what I've been into is kind of planning and signing up for races. One that I signed up for that has been a bucket list for me. It's been tough because I try to go to my family cabin over Memorial Day weekend. But this year I said, you know, I'm doing it. I'm doing the Le Grand du Nord.
Cool.
And I've always been intrigued since that launched, I don't know, maybe 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And really excited to try my hand at an early season gravel bike race.
Sweet. Yeah. The weather sometimes can be a little iffy for that race. Well, it's just a factor. Let's put it that way. A factor. Sure. I don't know if it's ever crazy bad, but it can be wet and muddy,
which
will slow things down. But I've kind of been curious about that race too. That seems like fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm excited for it. So, and Tony, what have you been up to lately?
Oh man, what am I into? Last time I think we talked, we were some house projects.
Yeah.
Have got a small one. We had some pipes freeze, and so we had to get those replaced recently. And now, because of that, there's some patchwork that I have to get done, and it's been like literally a hole in our wall and our ceiling, in one spot for I don't know a week now, and I need to get those patched up. Not a big deal, but I've just been dragging my feet on that. So that's one thing I have to do.
Yeah.
And then another thing is another kind of house project, and this isn't, I don't need to get this done right away, but I've been really thinking about it and planning it in my head quite a bit. Is we bought a pizza oven. An outdoor pizza oven, propane thing that we'll use. And so I want to build a like a grilling station outside on the deck, kind of an outdoor kitchen sort of approach. Yeah. So I've been kind of really researching that and, like I say, planning that out in my head.
Yeah. I know last time we talked a little bit about trying to PT on your foot, and I was super curious, you know, because I know you've been dealing with one particular ankle for a long time, and running obviously aggravates it, and dealing with it in different ways. And then it was maybe a month or a couple months ago you said, taking more direct action. I'm really curious how that kind of process has been, what you think, and a lot of our listeners might learn something too about options.
So that has really was a, I say was, and I'll tell you'll see why here in a little bit, but that was a really interesting journey for me, because like you mentioned, it's probably 15 years at least that I've had this Achilles peroneal sort of soreness and just achiness.
Yeah.
It was constant. I could run with it. The worst it would get, it would be kind of painful for 100, 200 meters, and then it would kind of loosen up throughout the run and I'd be fine.
Yeah.
But then afterwards, super sore, and then all day the rest, and in the mornings, even worse,
yeah.
That kind of thing. Well, I decided that was enough. So I went to physical therapy. My physical therapist was, I think he said at one point, like my third visit, what to do with you? You know, because yeah. It really was a little bit of I guess, guesswork to some extent. Mm-hmm. When we did some dry needling.
Yeah.
That was an experience. We did some ultrasound, and massage and exercises with the bands and all that. And, mm-hmm. You know, I think it all kind of helped. Right now, things are good.
Yeah.
And this is kind of where why I say it was an interesting experience.
Yeah.
I probably shouldn't act like it's completely gone. But honestly, right now,
yeah,
I say was because it feels great.
Wow.
And I'm going to think, I don't know what one specific thing did it, if one specific thing did, but right. I want to mention a few that, one, the PT, I think, mm-hmm. helped, just having a focused approach at trying to get this better.
Right.
Okay, that was probably the starting point.
Mm-hmm.
Two was just kind of not running for a little bit and letting everything heal up,
right.
Giving the body just time to deal with something. I was never really given it enough time to deal with it because I was always stressing it, essentially always stressing it.
Right.
So there's that. So those two things I think were main. I think now the everyday running, but just a little itty bit, very slow pace, 1 mile. I think that's actually been very beneficial.
Hmm.
And then there was, so my PT, I don't remember if we talked about this last time, but he mentioned this technique called voodoo flossing. Did he mention? I don't remember.
No.
Yeah. Voodoo flossing. Like, okay, well, what's that? Well, what you do is, okay, in my case, because I have an ankle issue, okay, Achilles and things, you take those exercise bands, those stretchy rubber bands that they use, and you wrap the foot tight all the way up to like mid-calf area or as high as you can get, just depending on how long the exercise band is.
Yeah.
And you wrap it really tight.
Uh-huh.
So you kind of cut off blood flow.
Like a mummy
type thing. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Wrap it like a mummy.
Yep. And then, so you cut off blood flow, and then you do a few exercises, like you would write the alphabet, you know, in the air with your foot, A, B, C, D. And then you take it off. You take the rubber band off, and the blood flow kind of flows right back. And the idea, I think, is that it kind of just gets to that spot a little more. I don't know why or how.
Yeah.
Honestly, that felt really good. That seemed to, I would say it seemed to quickly alleviate some stuff. Now,
okay.
I don't know why, but like, I don't know. That was the best of all the exercises that I did.
Yeah.
That was my favorite one in terms of feeling like there was positive change.
Right, right, right.
Yeah. I don't know. So voodoo flossing was another one.
So moving forward, are you going to pick up any of these types of tips, techniques? Are you going to kind of wait to see if it ankle like flares up, or what's your approach from here?
Yeah. So that's what it's in the back of my mind is, you know, okay, right now I'm maybe running like, I don't know, 10 to 15 miles a week. I'm not running much. Like today, I might get to like 20-ish or so by the end of the week. I don't even know.
Yeah.
After today. But I'm curious, what are things going to be like when I'm doing 7 miles a day, 8 miles a day with a long run, you know, that kind of thing, and 50, 60 miles, which I plan to do, I hope to do.
Right.
And if not more, I'd love to do more.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. My plan, if the Achilles issues arises again from the bigger miles, is to be more aggressive with the either going back to PT, maybe doing some more of the needling, which I didn't really like, but it probably helped. But I'm armed with some more tools now in terms of like some self massage and some Graston stuff that I can do at home on on myself, but also then the voodoo flossing for sure.
Sure.
So that's the plan.
Cool.
Yeah, I think I can manage it, but it is kind of new territory, so we'll see how it goes.
Nice.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, I think that's all we have for the rundown section. Anything else you can think of, Tony? Or
I don't think so. I don't think so, yeah.
Let's get on to the interview then, huh?
Let's do it.
All right.